Happy? Hello, everyone. Thanks for attending. We were doing okay. Is that my device or theirs? I don't know if that's me or. Okay. Today's talk is written by Jacopo Mondi. Unfortunately, he couldn't attend today. He's hurt his back, so I'm stepping in. So what I'm talking about today is not work I've done. It's about his experiences working on the PinePhone Pro. No, I don't want to touch it now. Yeah. My name's Kieran. Just like Jacopo, I'm an embedded camera engineer with Ideas on Board. We've been working on VFRL2 kernel drivers and for some time now, libcamera. We can be found on IRC, Matrix, anywhere you want to get a hold of us, GitHub if you need, or after the chat. And today we want to talk about how we perceive the Linux camera stack on both desktop and mobile environments. And starting with the kernel, we see libcamera as being a big part of that to support the platform abstractions. And on top of libcamera, we see lots of applications desiring to use pipewire. So we're going to look through there. And the overall goal is that applications shouldn't care what platform they're running on. They shouldn't care if they're running on a PC, a desktop, or a Librem 5 or a PinePhone Pro. And equally, any application you want to run or framework, camera framework, they should all be able to say, hey, I want to talk to the camera, give me some pictures, please. And specifically, today's talk is about the PinePhone Pro. Jacopo has spent some time over the last 3 months or so, or more, trying to make sure that we can bring up the PinePhone Pro with libcamera and standard applications. And the PinePhone Pro is an interesting device because I think it's promoted as like a test ground. So it's like, there's no official software, but it's a good device that people can play with and develop their own software. Interestingly for us, it has an RK3399, which is a chip that has an ISP. And it's actually a device that we have already been supporting for several years now. It pretty much was one of the first devices we started supporting with libcamera. And part of why we created libcamera is because cameras got complex. This is a slide I've presented a few times. But on the left, we can see that beyond having just a single video node where you might say, UVC, give me some pictures, cameras started getting more complicated. They have multiple components and you want to configure them. And the one on the left has now been removed from the kernel. And the N900, which already has a lot of different nodes, that's 13 years ago. So if you can imagine, there's a lot of cameras out there now that are even more complicated than all the components there, particularly lots of Qualcomm phones. And with all those new components, it's very difficult for applications to know what to do with each of those things. Suddenly, every application has to be aware of every platform. And that's going to lead to a lot of replication of code. Each camera application is going to have to deal with a media controller to configure the pipeline, has to talk to VFRL2 to get frames, has to talk to sub-devices to configure parameters on the sensor itself. And that changes for every platform. It's different on a ROC chip, it's different on a Raspberry Pi, it's different on an Intel. So libcamera's goal really is to fill the gap of that abstraction so that applications only have to look at one API again. And it sits on top of VFRL2. It's not a replacement for VFRL2. But what we have is a pipeline handler, which deals with the platform abstraction. And we have a component called the IPA. And that's crucial for devices like the PinePhone Pro with an ISP and raw Bayer sensors, because you need control algorithms. And the IPA in libcamera provides a space to do that. On top of libcamera itself, we have a native libcamera API, which is C++. We've got Python bindings. There's people developing Rust bindings. The Rust bindings are actually giving us C bindings, I believe. Aside from that, we've got Android HAL integration, which is important and comes up later, and integration into frameworks like GStreamer. And as I said, the Rockchip LK3399 is one of the devices we started supporting when we started libcamera, particularly on the Chromebook, Chrome tab. But it's actually a really interesting platform because it's in a lot of small board computers as well. So it's readily available hardware. You can plug in off-the-shelf cameras from Raspberry Pi and play with it. And what I actually really like is recently been working on the IMX 8M Plus, which has the same ISP core in the chip. So the same code that we've written for Rockchip also works on the IMX 8M Plus. So I've mentioned that these cameras are now complex, and we've got this thing called an ISP, which is kind of getting in the way of people getting images out of their cameras. And the reason for that is the cameras themselves are now raw BIOS sensors, and that needs a lot more processing and support to get good images from. Particularly the underlying format is in a Bayer format, which most applications don't want to process. So that data is fed into the ISP, but the ISP needs to be managed. It produces something called, well, it produces statistics, usually custom to each platform, and there has to be code or an algorithm to process those statistics to then generate control parameters to configure the ISP for the next frame. And ultimately, then, that will process in a loop and produce you some images that the applications will expect, either YUV or RGB. And we already have an implementation for this. This was one of the things we started early. I believe a lot of this implementation is derived from Raspberry Pi, so it's quite compatible with the implementation that Raspberry Pi have at the moment. But we've got various components like AGC to handle how bright the image is automatically or set manually. White balance is important, then lens shading are the kind of three that you have to start with. But all that code is open and already existing in libcamera. The kernel driver itself has been in the mainline kernel now since, I believe, 2020, and it was destaged in 21. Helen from Calabra was working on that, and since then, it's still had active development. There's fixes that go up, and we've been working on it to extend support for the IMX 8M+. And so the kernel side and the libcamera side is looking pretty good. We've got support for processing the images. We've got the kernel drivers. But when we go back to the PinePhone Pro, for quite a long time, there's no driver in the mainline kernel for the front camera, 8858. And even though there was a driver for the back camera, it wasn't tuned and it wasn't supported very well. It wasn't tuned, really. So PinePhone Pro has been left behind from libcamera for quite some time because no one was actively working on this, and it just meant that you couldn't use libcamera on a PinePhone Pro. And then Jacobo has been working on this in collaboration with others who wanted to push this forwards and make it work again. And Nicholas Roth started this back in October, I think, where he wanted to get Wadroid running on a PinePhone Pro. So he was trying to find out what are the missing pieces, what do we need to upstream. And this talk really derived from the work that he kickstarted. So he submitted support for the rear camera, front camera, to libcamera. And he based that on the kernel driver that was in the PinePhone Pro self-hosted driver, not self-hosted, Meggy's tree. And interestingly, the driver was, it hadn't been posted upstream, so it hadn't had any kind of review process. And it exposed itself as a name with M00F underscore OV8858. So it was encoding properties in the sensor name about where it is and its location. And that's not very good for libcamera because it's not generic, because then we can't have a handle that says only match the front camera in location 0 when we want that to support every device that has the sensor. So the upstreaming process actually highlights where things need to be cleaned up. This has gone through some iterations, and Jacopo, who would have been talking, has taken this on to completion and it will land in 6.3. It's accepted in the Linux media tree now. So that's getting in March, I think. The support required for libcamera, we merged that and made a release last week for 0.0.4. So now we've got a kernel with the ISP driver, we've got the sensor drivers, and libcamera support all upstream and mainline. The other sensor needs a lot of work still. Interestingly, it's supported by Raspberry Pi, and the Raspberry Pi kernel has a lot of downstream patches. So if anyone wants to get involved, this is a really good opportunity to look at what is in the Raspberry Pi tree, take some of those cleanups, get them suitable for mainline, and post them up. So if everything's there, what's next to make it good? There's lots of patches to upstream still for the 2.5.8. The next stages really are about camera tuning. And that's part of the process that we're trying to provide in libcamera as a framework. We've got a camera tuning tool. And that's really about helping the control loops know how to process the images. So we have a camera tuning tool, which is being developed and can be used already. You can tune the cameras at home, simple things like taking pictures of a white wall. Ideally, you want a color card that was on one of the earlier slides. But with very inexpensive tools, you can do some pretty base, an initial start at camera tuning. So if you've got devices and you want to investigate this, that's a great place to get started. So that is not my work here is done, but it's Jacopo's. That's front and back cameras from running on the device. This is captured using CAM, which is just a pure test tool in the camera. We have CAM and QCAM. They're not meant for end users, really. It's just for helping us develop the framework. The images probably need more work on the lens shading and white balance, but that's part of the tuning process that we mentioned. But users don't want to stop at using test tools. So what's also been going on and progressing nicely is support for application layers on top. And Robert Mader, I met back in Prague, and since then has been also working on this with his device, trying to get the desktop environment to be suitable, or the same experience you get on the desktop to work on mobile. And that's been building up the camera portal in Pipewire, extending support in GStreamer to handle controls, and mapping that all through the camera portals. So from Pipewire's perspective, this is what the media stack looks like for desktop environments or anything using Pipewire, where Pipewire sits on top of libcamera, knows how to look at cameras that are vFRL2 as well, but if it needs libcamera, it already has that integration. And then GStreamer and applications can sit on top of Pipewire. And Robert has been doing quite a lot of work trying to clean up and finish that integration of that pipeline, application pipeline. Particularly in getting the GNOME camera app to work all the way through. And I remember when I first saw the GNOME camera app, I saw it and thought, great, there's a standard design for a desktop. I want this to work on libcamera. This has made me really happy seeing that people have pushed this forward. GNOME camera is a design, I've forgotten which team was designing it, but then James Westman took that design and created an application for it, which can be part of the standard GNOME environment. And also run on mobile devices, which is the key point. If I could have put that in the slide. So, Jacopo couldn't be here today, but he did manage to record on his PinePhone Pro with a screen grab and encode on the device, running GNOME camera on the PinePhone Pro, running through Pipewire into libcamera, running libcamera algorithms and through the ISP. So this is hardware accelerated camera. He's taken a picture. He, in a moment, will change the camera to the front camera. there. And one of the things I like is, quite interestingly, you can see the algorithms kick in. So you can see it starts out green and then it corrects itself. So you can see that real-time action from the algorithms that are in place in LibCamera. In consumer devices, that still happens on a UVC webcam, but usually you hide those frames. In LibCamera, with these applications, we're just not hiding them, so you can see it.
If somebody wants to play with it, there's a device.
Excellent. So we can have real live demos instead of video ones. Can I get back? So, thank you. That demo was running GNOME Camera through the Pipewire camera portal. And thanks to Robert, if you have a device running Pipewire, you can install this Flatpak, get that application, and run it on your device. I believe that will just all work. The instructions from Robert over there.
If it...
Okay, I went with what I had. So that's great. We can now run camera application that's exactly the same on desktop and mobile. But there's more that we want to do on our phones or with communications nowadays. So getting browser support is really important there. But now we've got Pipewire integration and portals. Browsers, which will most of them use WebRTC, it would be really helpful if we had integration of WebRTC that could talk to Pipewire. And Michael from Pengutronics has been working on that. There we are, I want to see you later. Has been working on that tirelessly for a year or more, I think. And I don't think I can point that far out, but what was fantastic is last week it went green and that part is merged. There's still a few more series to get in, but the core support is now there. So in some months, that's a very wishy number, we should be able to see browsers able to handle this pipeline and you could make a video call on your PinePhone Pro, which is fantastic. It's not me. That's other people. I do talk a lot about other people's work, so I don't want to take credit. Talking to some of the distros, I know that once the code's ready, I believe we can start getting early PPA-type packages available so that we don't have to wait for it to filter through all the upstream processes, but that's up to the distros, not me. So there's actually... It's quite exciting. There's a lot of development going on with LibCamera at the moment, lots of application-side development. And another one that's been being supported lately since the last 3 or 4 months is Adam Piggs is working on Sailfish OS. And he had an application called Harbor Camera that ran there. And he's ported that to run on LibCamera. So he's been working on that on the PinePhone. And it's Qt based, so I've been running it on my desktop, my laptop, and an Intel device. But even though he's developing it on the PinePhone, because it's based on LibCamera, the platform is abstracted, so it will work on every platform that's supported by LibCamera. So the same application is now going to run just the same as GNOME Camera will run on all the supported platforms, unmodified, which is brilliant. I've run it, as I said, on the Surface Go's and my desktop. He has already started plumbing in manual controls, so you can do things that you expect from your mobile phone camera app to control the exposure and brightness that you might want to play around with. And then autofocus and manual focus should be coming up soon. That is a screen capture from Raphael, who is one of the other LibCamera community members, who is just testing Adam's work on the PinePhone. But that's actually running on MIMO Lest, whereas Adam's working directly on Sailfish. So again, it's nice to see that the distribution doesn't matter. It's all about cross-platform. The talk started, a lot of this work here started because Nicholas Roth was trying to get Waydroid support working. He wanted to run Waydroid to get the Android applications running on his phone. And so that is a way of running an Android environment in a contained, in a containerized solution on your device, on a regular Linux system, such as we can now run on the phones. And I said earlier that LibCamera already provides an Android camera help. So we've already got integration there for telling Android how to talk to the camera, which is great, so that can be reused. There's still a fair bit of work there, unfortunately. Nicholas has got it working in WayDroid. He can capture frames, but due to the format that the buffers are captured in, he can't display them. So that's going to need some more work in Mesa and look at how the buffer management is being handled. There may be some updates from...
There's a merge request for MD12
in... Excellent. So there's recent developments that may improve this in the near future with Panfrost driver development. But might be an opportunity if anyone wants to get dug into those layers to work on. Millipixels is a fork from Dorota, where she's been supporting the Librem 5. And the interesting part there is she's working on a GPU-based ISP. So on devices where we don't have support for managing the ISP, such as Qualcomm or devices that don't have one, that work would be really interesting to see extend LibCamera to work on those devices. And Pavel's talk earlier was about Sharp Photos on a mobile phone, who's creating a software CPU-based implementation, which will help get things started as well. These are lessons Jakob wanted to highlight that he's learnt, but they do apply widely. Fragmentation, when it's all split with lots of different stacks from vendors, it's very difficult to use that generically. So LibCamera's goal is to try and pull this all together. And to do that, it needs mainlining. We have to have a single definition of what is true. And mainlining is difficult. It takes a lot of effort. My friend that I traveled up on the train with to Fosdem, he was saying he posted patches to one of the Linux lists. And after, you know, 4 or 6 weeks, he had no reply, and he found that really demotivating. So it is important that you consider mainlining from the start. You've got to get in so early. It takes a lot of time, and it's always slower than when you've got control of your own repositories. We've definitely learned more lessons from developing LibCamera. A lot of us are derived from kernel developers, so we've been on the other side. And now we're seeing just how important it is on the user space side that these value or controls and interfaces need to be standardized and have a reference implementation. Since we've created LibCamera, we're finding that the sensor drivers in Linux are improving rapidly, we hope. We've started saying that controls have to be defined by the sensors. There's so many missing parts to the drivers that are already upstream, and they need more work to get them supported generically. But doing so means it will all be more consistent and improve the experience for everyone. Thank you. I think I might have 2 minutes.
You have 2 minutes.
Excellent. So 2 minutes if we do have any questions. It already does, I think. There may be...
Just to repeat the question, was, will LibCamera support the original PinePhone?
So Pavel is brilliant to answer that.
Wait. Where's the mic coming?
Answer is kernel on original PinePhone doesn't have required APIs for LibCamera. So you can either break the LibCamera to work anyway, or you can fix the kernel, and people are doing both at the moment.
Yeah. It's in development, but Adam Piggs, who was doing the pinhole camera app, he is working on PinePhone. So, no, on PinePhone.
Okay.
So it's one of the active platforms being used, so I believe so, yes.
Okay. Any more questions?
Earlier, you talked about releasing 0.0.4. What's on your roadmap for an 0.1 release? So what do you want to get done?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question.
Roadmap for 1.0.
Ah, for LibCamera 1.0. Ah. He's ducking. He's getting out of the way. We want to. There's key features that we want to support in LibCamera, and it will break the API. So we already know exactly how we want to break things. I started tagging releases so that we had defined points before Christmas, so I'm trying to do it every 2 months at the moment. It is in the plan. There's a big reconfiguration API that wanted to try and get in first before we go for 1.0. But we need testing and app to know how to get it right. Once we go 1.0, it feels like we're going to say, that's it. But I think some ways some of it's more psychological. But that's versioning. So we're working on it. I'm trying to make sure we handle ABI breakages automatically now, so we'll be able to improve on release management. We kind of always just said use the latest because we were active trying to iterate so fast, and that is hopefully improving. So we're working on it. All right. I'm out of time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for a great talk.